866-2237.
America tonight. Each and every show, right off the bat, we go to Washington, get to the scoop inside the Beltway with Talk Radio News. Victoria Jones joining us once again. A lot of conversation, Victoria, still, of course, about Libya and what's the ultimate goal of America and what's going to happen as far as Dennis Kucinich pressing possibly for impeachment, saying that Congress really should have been included in this. But I think the congressman from Ohio is maybe a little more than grandstanding and making a point about Congress not being included and isn't this an act of war. But I don't know that it goes anywhere. What do you think?
I don't think it goes anywhere. I mean, I think Congress always gets up on its hind legs like this, and it always wants to be included. I mean, the fact is Congress always wants to be included, and then any member of Congress who was elected president must do exactly the same thing.
Yeah. One of the things that came out today, and I know you know this, because a lot of the chatter, a lot of the conversation is, what is the end game? Is it to take out Gaddafi? And what I hear, and you can probably expound upon this, is it's true. Washington is saying, or the White House is saying, hey, we're not trying to take Gaddafi out. Is that true?
Well, that's what they say. They say that he's never been a target, and he's not a target, although yesterday it was interesting that Britain's defense minister said, actually, that he could be considered a legitimate target. But also, what's also interesting today is we get a readout of President Obama's call last night with Prime Minister Erdogan of Turkey. And the last sentence was very interesting. And first of all, this was just sort of a whisper among the White House press corps, and then finally it broke loose and shook things up. And the final sentence is, they underscored their shared commitment to the goal of helping provide the Libyan people an opportunity to transform their country, comma, by installing a democratic system that respects the people's will. Well,
that means replacement.
That's never been part of the deal before, ever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that says to me, that reeks to me of replacement player. That Gaddafi's out. They're not saying that, but what you just said there points to that because Gaddafi's a dictator.
Yeah, and Jay Carney, the press secretary, in an email to reporters today was saying, no, nothing's changed about the mission. Everything's absolutely the same. And Obama's two-page letter to Congress yesterday that we talked about has no mention of this whatsoever.
Yeah, interesting. It's good to read between the lines. We're gonna hang on to what you just said there. Today, the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, talked about being concerned about the instability in Yemen, which, of course, that's been happening for a while now, saying specifically that Al-Qaeda, as far as any of the franchises, this is some of the worst, the most dangerous people are in Yemen. What do you think happens there? And, of course, we know there's protests going on, and a lot's happened as far as shakeups in their government.
Yeah, it really is considered very dangerous because since 2009, they have mounted numerous terrorist plots and attacks, actually not just plots, attacks against the U.S., including the printer bomb in the FedEx plane. President Saleh, as of today, was looking increasingly isolated. You know, every morning when I go online and look at the paper, more people have left. Today, I saw that the country's most senior military official are gone. I saw that, everybody's gone. You name it, they've gone. Another tribe had left him. I mean, it's absolutely extraordinary who is going. His own tribe has gone. Oh, six more ambassadors left. Mm. So it's like, who is left? Nobody's left. Today he said, oh, we're on the brink of civil war. And he was saying this to the military to sort of rally them around him. And he might be able to do that, but there are so many ministers and members of his cabinet who have now thrown in with the protesters, as well as other opposition leaders, that there is a tipping point, and I don't know when we're going to be at it.
Yeah, it could be sooner rather than later. That's the scary thing. Sooner rather than later, are we ever going to have a balanced budget? We keep talking about this now. Six times it's been extended. All the conversation over spending cuts, the back and forth between the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats today said something about what's going on with the Republicans and all their spending cuts is going to lead to higher prices at the pumps. Did they really say that?
Yeah, they did. In a letter today to House and Senate Republican leaders, basically Senate Democrats are taking aim at House-passed spending legislation that would cut funding for the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. And that, as you know, is what polices oil futures markets. And the GOP's plan to fund the government through the end of fiscal year 2011 would slash almost $57 million from the CFTC's budget. And basically, and it's already passed the House. And the CFTC chairman said that the House GOP cuts would make his agency less effective. So this letter is saying, basically, we urge you to abandon the reckless energy proposals that will condemn our country to continued reliance on foreign oil and allow market manipulation that could lead to gas prices rising unchecked and much more in the same vein.
What happened, and that's, I think you're going to see a lot of those kind of back and forth things going on now for the next couple of weeks. And April 8th, we know, is another deadline as far as the budget is concerned. But moving from the budget to a different branch of government, the Supreme Court, a couple of things came down the pike with the justices. What did they rule on?
Yeah, very interesting today. They sided with investors and workers against business. The first case was they said that an oral complaint against an employer is enough to protect a worker against retaliatory action, such as firing. Kevin Kasten said he told his employer that his placement of time clocks was illegal and was meant to cheat employees. So mm-hmm. The company moved the clocks and fired him. And the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 prohibits retaliation against a worker who's filed a complaint against an employer. The question was whether the complaint must be written, and the company said, yes, it must. And Justice Breyer, writing for five other members of the court, said, no, it doesn't. The dictionaries provide different meanings for the word file, can't answer the question. And he said, anyway, the law was passed at a time when many workers were illiterate, and why would Congress want to limit the enforcement scheme's effectiveness by making it more difficult for people who are illiterate, less educated, or overworked?
Yeah, seems odd. Yeah. Wow.
So that was a very good one for workers. And then another case was very interesting. They ruled unanimously today that a group of stockholders can proceed with a lawsuit against the makers of the nasal spray cold remedy Zicam, saying the manufacturer should have disclosed that some who used the product lost their sense of smell. You may remember this. It was quite recent, and it was quite a scandal that people who just sniffed, you know, used this thing, you sniffed it up your nose, they then lost their sense of smell. And the investors said that the company had been warned, but even after lawsuits had issued statements saying the allegations were completely unfounded and misleading. So basically, Justice Sonia Sotomayor said, look, she said, there is a compelling inference that Matrix elected not to disclose the reports of adverse effects, not because it believed they were meaningless, but because it understood their likely effects on the market.
Wow, that's a big one. I like that with the stockholders. Great way to end this. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks so much, as always, for joining us on ATN.
Thank you.
You really can lose weight while you're sleeping. Guaranteed. AffinityDiet.com introduces Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet. Great tasting Lose and Snooze from AffinityDiet.com is the first step in our guaranteed weight loss system. Lose and Snooze will help your body get a deep restorative sleep without the harmful side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And during deep natural sleep, your body starts to shed unwanted pounds, build lean muscle, and lose inches. Add AffinityDiet.com's One Day Diet waivers and your metabolism keeps going with all the vitamins and minerals you need with no real rebound effect. But don't worry, you're never more than 24 hours from your favorite foods. Learn more about Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet at AffinityDiet.com, spelled AffinityDiet.com, or call toll-free 855-663-3438. That's 855-663-3438. Finally, a diet that succeeds where others have failed, from AffinityDiet.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Continuing the debate over what is happening in Libya and this mission in the first place, going from the no-fly zone to, let's face it, a war. What happened from last week to this week has been stunning, I think. You even have Ohio Congressman, we were just talking about that, Dennis Kucinich, saying, yeah, this is maybe impeachment territory. Why wasn't Congress involved in this? But we can even re-rack this and go to the UN and how far the Security Council resolution went. Definitely far beyond the bounds of a no-fly zone. Someone who I think agrees with me on this is Phyllis Bennis, fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, also the author of a book called Calling the Shots, How Washington Dominates Today's UN. Phyllis, thanks for joining us on ATN.
Great to be with you.
So what was your initial reaction when the story broke over the weekend? I mean, we knew what happened at the UN, and then, boom, right away, President Obama has a press conference. Next thing you know, by the beginning of the week, we have Tomahawk missiles that we're talking about, 112 of them. What happened? Is this, like I said, far beyond the bounds of what that resolution calls for?
Well, in certain ways, it's not. The stunning part to me was what was in that resolution. Because if, you know, you remember that when we were first hearing about this, the U.S. was kind of reticent. The U.S. was saying, you know, we don't really think that a no-fly zone is going to work. They didn't say it, but what's true is it's never worked in the past. No reason to think it would this time. Mm-hmm. In Iraq, it led to the deaths of over 700 civilians. In Bosnia, it led to the Srebrenica massacre that occurred right under the plains of the no-fly zone. Didn't help protect people at all. But that was what was originally on the plan. That was the original draft by the British and the French. It was a draft for a no-fly zone. The U.S. was saying, we don't think so. We don't think it's going to work very well. So instead of saying, and therefore we're not going to support it, they said, therefore, we're going to rewrite it. And they took the resolution and came back with it on Tuesday. took the vote on Wednesday night. This was an extraordinary thing because the new resolution that the U.S. redrafted went way beyond the idea of a no-fly zone to include the crucial language, all necessary measures, which basically means no limits, any kind of military force that you want. The only restriction, and they're very cautious, they're not really very strong restrictions at all. One said there cannot be a foreign occupation force in Libya. Now, that's a good thing that there's that restriction, but it doesn't really mean much because that's a very specific definition. And we know that, like, even in, say, Afghanistan, where the U.S. has 100,000 troops, tens of thousands of U.S.-paid mercenaries, that's not considered an occupation.
Right.
Troops on the ground fighting is not prohibited. They can be there. The only other restriction, and this one is important, said that the military force is for the purpose of protecting civilians. And that means it was not for the purpose of regime change. The problem that we have is that you have governments leading the military strikes, the U.S., the Brits, and the French, all of whose top leaders are saying, Gaddafi must go. He has no credibility left. We want him out. We want regime change. But stop, don't worry. Our military actions are not aimed at regime change. They are within the bounds of the UN resolution. Separately, we have other things in mind, whether sanctions, whether something else designed to get Gaddafi out. Now, the problem is it's the same government doing both things. So the notion that there's somehow this bright light dividing what's regime change and what's protecting civilians, that's what really doesn't work. That's where you get to the problem.
Yeah, no kidding. Tricky language. We're speaking with Phyllis Bennis, author of the book, as I mentioned, Calling the Shots, How Washington Dominates Today's UN. And the title of your book goes with what you're just saying here. The U.S. steps in, rewrites it, redrafts that resolution, essentially declaring war on Libya, right? Declaring war on Libya.
Indeed.
With everything we
it
just said.
It is almost a declaration of war in not quite that many words, but almost. And what we're seeing now is clearly the U.S., the Brits, and the French joining a civil war. That's really what it's starting to look like. The U.S. and the Brits and the French are coming in on one side of a civil war. Now, granted, this was not an even playing field. This was not even sides in Libya. The democratic opposition movement that had sprung up about a month ago, which originally was a nonviolent civilian movement, like all the others in the region, very quickly took up arms to defend themselves. That's made it very different than the other revolutionary processes in Egypt and in Tunisia, and even in the ones that are under enormous pressure now in Yemen and in Bahrain and elsewhere in Syria, where the call is peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. In Libya, very quickly, after the regime attacked, the military divided, the military split, and a big chunk of the military went over to the other side, defected with their weapons. So this is a strong, armed, military movement, very different than the others. And it's not to say they have the same weapons. They don't. The best weapons are still with Gaddafi's forces, the best trained soldiers, etc. But this is not an unarmed, vulnerable population in the same way. In fact, there was an interesting thing. That first French airstrike, which was, Saturday morning?
Yeah.
That hit the tanks outside of Benghazi. The reason those tanks were out in the desert outside of the city, because they had been in the city, they had attacked the city, they were driven out by the military power of the opposition force, by themselves. They are actually stronger than I think we give them credit for.
Yeah.
So the notion that if the U.S. didn't send those troops right away, or send those planes right away, that somehow they were all going to be massacred, that's not at all clear. They were fighting back pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. And people listening to this all across the country, why should they sit up and start to pay attention to what's going on at the U.N. and with these resolutions and what's happening in the Middle East? Why should American citizens be concerned?
You know, we live in an incredibly interconnected world. And when people around the world are not secure, when there are wars, when there are shortages of water or shortages of oil, all those things come back to bite us. Mm. And when we have foreign policies that people around the world think are unfair or that they are based on double standards and hypocrisy. We pay a price for that. We, American people, not only our government, it's not just that people don't like our foreign policy. It means that we as Americans are sometimes hated. You know, we ask that question so often, why do they hate us? And we get, frankly, sometimes pretty stupid answers. They hate us because of our freedom. Well, they, whoever we want to say they are for the moment, they don't hate our freedoms. They hate that we take away their freedom.
Right.
Their freedoms may not be the same as ours. We, you know, they don't want the same things necessarily that we do. But that's not our call. That's not our business. You know, I'm hearing from some people now some questions about, well, so who is this Libyan opposition anyway? Do we really want to be fighting for them? And I'm saying, well, look, you know, we don't know exactly who all these folks are, nor did we know in Egypt, nor did we know in Tunisia. They're mixed up groups of all kinds of different people. And when they take power, which I hope is soon, I mean, I really do, even though I don't want this militarization of it to go on. I think it's going to make things worse and not better. But I do hope they win. And when they do, they're going to be a very different kind of government than what we probably are anticipating now. And are we going to like it? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But we don't live there. We're not Libyans. You know, we don't get to say what kind of a government they should have.
Yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Phyllis, one last one. We got like a minute and change left. I know this is tough to answer this, but just give me a quick one on this. Yemen is becoming, it already is a hornet's nest, but man, they're getting blown apart too. So after having this happen in Libya, geez, what happens next?
Well, I hope that what's next is not military force being talked about, and I'm pretty sure it won't be because the U.S. has been very dependent on that dictatorial government to help out in the so-called global war on terror. That's where you see the double standard, but I hope the answer is not more militarization, but less. Let me add just one last quick thing. The other reason we need to be thinking about what's going on in the Middle East, these wars are not free. This is now our third war, and we can't afford it. The Tomahawk missiles alone cost $1 million apiece. That's $110 million just for the Tomahawks that first day, not even counting the cost of the ships and the planes and the troops. We can't afford this. One last soundbite to leave you with. The state deficit in Wisconsin, where all this fight back is taking place, that state deficit is $1.8 billion. That's a lot of money. It's not chump change. The money that people in Wisconsin will spend this year on tax money, just enough for their share of the war in Afghanistan, almost the exact same amount, $1.7 billion. If we didn't have a war in Afghanistan, we probably wouldn't have that kind of a state deficit in Wisconsin.
Yeah, amen. I agree with you. Interesting conversation. Terrific stuff. Phyllis Bennis, fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. And check out the book, Calling the Shots, How Washington Dominates Today's UN. Phyllis, thanks so much for joining us on ATN.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
The collapse of the dollar is imminent. You can protect your wealth by buying gold, silver, and strong foreign currencies, but what if the government confiscates your precious metals, implements exchange controls, or nationalizes your retirement? You need a backup plan. That's why you must move your wealth into an offshore asset protection structure. Go to CollapseProof.com to get your free special report and discover how to store your gold and silver in the world's safest vaults, or how to hold foreign currencies in a way that's safe from bank failures, bank runs, or exchange controls. Learn how the U.S. government government failed to collect a $36 million claim because the defendant legally used an offshore asset protection program. This is what you need to keep your wealth safe when the dollar collapses, and CollapseProof.com can help. Our programs are 100% compliant with U.S. law, but you must act now before it's too late. Call 800-798-2008. That's 800-798-2008. CollapseProof.com. Asset protection in financially unsafe times.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's LeCig.com. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeCig.com. LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You gotta love that about America tonight. We're kind of like a box of Cracker Jacks. You never know what you're gonna get. We're talking about Libya, the UN resolution, and a slew of other things. And we're switching gears and we're going to Hollywood. Kate Delaney, as always, happy to be at the helm, or the skipper of this ship. Remember, you can always throw in your 2 cents, even with Steven. If you want to throw something Steven's way, he's waiting in the wings, Steven Shohev, our man in Hollywood, you can do that. 800-259-5791. There's always so much to talk about. What with Charlie Sheen, the latest I heard, CBS wooing him back. Of course they are, because let's just say he goes back to Two and a Half Men. Imagine the rubberneckers. What would that audience expand to? They already had a big audience. Stephen Shohet, the author of Hollywood Stories. You can catch his blog by the same name. Stephen, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Kate?
That big news about Charlie Sheen before we dive into a couple of other things. I'm not surprised by that because money makes the world turn around in a lot of places, and especially when it comes to television and movies. If he were to go back, they would make, I think, that much more money.
You know what? I'm not surprised at it either. It's just, I mean, I don't know if it can happen, but, again, what we talked about, that show was created about him. I mean, losing him is ripping the heart out of the show. The way agencies in Hollywood, the way they make their money, you can't get much bigger than a show that has years and years of repeat value, where all the costs are done and you can play it over and over and over. It's a risk to replace Charlie Sheen with, say, Rob Lowe. I mean, CBS is still making money after all these years off I Love Lucy. So, and also you wonder, you know, if they ended like this, if eventually there might be a fear that maybe the rerun value of the show would go down because you know, people have a bad feeling about Charlie Sheen. It might be better for everybody to make peace. So, you know, it's not a shock.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, second chances don't always happen when you strike out, kind of lay in the weeds for a few years, get a lukewarm response and come back to the big screen, at least directing, and then you blow it again with a bunch of crazy nonsense. Mel Gibson, who has so many pictures, I mean, all the Lethal Weapon, Braveheart to me, The Patriot were some of his best, and of course, he had the anti-Semitic rant with the cop in Malibu that knocked him off the map, and then with the girlfriend and divorcing his wife. I don't think so much about divorcing his wife, but the girlfriend and the claims and the allegations and all the other nutty stuff. It's been a wild soap opera-y ride for Mel Gibson, hasn't it, in the last 7-8 years?
You know, it's been that way throughout his whole career. It's just more focused on a little bit right now. I mean, there were always little stories and rumors going around about him when he was on location, for example, making the movies The Bounty or Air America, you know, about extramarital affairs and things like that. And, you know, I probably wouldn't say that except he's, you know, just become so public with this current event. And now he's got the new movie coming out called The Beaver, and why he's which is being made with his very loyal friend Jodie Foster, who they co-starred in the movie Maverick years ago and got along splendidly. And why the movie is out there, he really is not in a good position to go out there and promote it because of his legal problems. So he's kind of staying under the radar, just put his house up for sale. I mean, Hollywood is a community that, you know, at the forefront is dominated by Jewish people in a lot of instances. And Mel Gibson was actually fired by his agent. Now, you don't hear about that too much. You know, you hear the other way around. And his agent, very, very powerful man named Ari Emanuel. And if people watch the TV show Entourage, the character of Ari on that show is based on Ari Emanuel. And, you know, what happened was a couple of years ago, Ari Emanuel, after Mel Gibson's anti-Semitic rant, said that no agency should represent him. Well, then Ari Emanuel's agency, Endeavor, ended up merging with William Morris, who was representing Mel Gibson. So by default, Ari Emanuel sort of had to swallow, you know, his pride and take Mel Gibson on as a client. Well, when Mel Gibson had some more legal problems and Mel Gibson's personal agent passed on, then Ari decided to drop him and fire him. And so the doors in Hollywood for Mel have been really closed in a lot of ways. I mean, the Beaver's kind of an independent film fighting for distribution. Of course, Mel was dropped from The Hangover 2. So, you know, as far as personal working relationships, it's going to be hard because there's this negative feeling of him in the Hollywood community. Now, can he come back with the public? I think so. I think the public will still like him. I mean, I watched an interview with him where he was actually talking about having his extramarital affair and having a baby by another woman, and the people were applauding. You know, I mean, they were still rooting for him. So, you know, stardom is a popular, is a powerful thing, and the cult of personality is a powerful thing. And there's ways to come back nowadays that people didn't have years ago. Like, you can get on Saturday Night Live, maybe, and make fun of yourself, or get on The Simpsons, and, you know, or something like that, to get noticed and, you know, be lighthearted and apologize and things like that. The interesting thing is, I think it's going to be tougher for him, like I said, to get the working community of Hollywood to be on his side more than the public, maybe.
Yep. Yeah, no kidding. And it's strange how things turn around, because as you sent a note to me and you jogged my memory, it's the 25th anniversary of a big movie, Stand By Me, right?
Yeah, Stand By Me. And, yeah, that was 25 years ago. And, of course, it was actually 29 years ago when Stephen King wrote it, part of a book with four stories in it called Different Seasons. The story was actually called The Body. And it was very autobiographical for Stephen King. And it really, even though it's four kids in search of a body, it really had no horror elements, or at least no supernatural elements in it. So it's a different thing for Stephen King. And Rob Reiner happened to read it and really identified with it. And Stephen King, he had made the story not about the main character, Gordy. He was kind of an observer and had based it on the other characters, especially the character that River Phoenix ended up playing. And when Rob Reiner was casting it, he decided to not pick kids for their acting, but pick kids who were really like the characters that they were playing. And River Phoenix's character is kind of a peacemaker, and he came from sort of a hippie family. That's how River Phoenix described them. Will Wheaton was, very intellectual and well-read. And Corey Feldman had come from a broken home, kind of like his character. And Jerry O'Connell was just crazy. He was a crazy kid. He came in there thinking, I'm going to meet Archie Bunker. I'm going to meet Archie Bunker. Hey, wait a minute. I'm meeting Meathead. So, yeah. And so they all sort of fit their characters. And then they were terrorized on the set by Kiefer Sutherland, who decided to stay in character even when he was off camera. And, the chemistry between them all worked really great. And, of course, it's very ironic and sad that River Phoenix's character, who doesn't have a great final fate in the movie, of course, in real life, River Phoenix, a few years after that movie came out, and he was starting to achieve major stardom, ended up dying at the Viper Room Club in West Hollywood in 1993.
Yeah, no kidding. We only have a couple of minutes left, and I thought I'd throw this out to you, because we always, on the show, we do little cheap movie reviews. We have you on, and we talk about the box office cha-ching. We're heading into the big box office time of the year, aren't we? When you get into the summer, you hit May and you get into the summer. That's when a lot of blockbusters come out, right?
Yeah, ever since the movie Jaws came out in 1975, they have these movies called the tentpoles, which means that they do so well blockbuster-wise, hopefully they can finance all the other products that the studios put out in theory. So I think, for example, Thor, might be a movie. The Kenneth Branagh directed Thor might be a movie that falls into that category this year, and some others as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Stephen Shohead, always a pleasure to talk to you. Tell us about your blog, how we can see the cool things that you blog about.
Well, I actually have by the way, my article did make it into Big Hollywood. I don't know if you call it a blog. I actually write articles. They're all on my website, hollywoodstories.com, and people can also, there's like 54 articles on there about Hollywood, and people can also find out about my book, which is called Hollywood Stories: Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. It's got over 1,000 anecdotes in it about movie stars, producers, directors, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any bookstore. All the information is at hollywoodstories.com, and you'll have a real good time if you go there.
Absolutely. Stephen, thank you so much. Congratulations on the article getting picked up, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Oh, you got it. Thank you.
Stephen Shohead, our Hollywood insider. He joins us on Tuesdays. It's an interesting time because then we're getting ready for the movies of the week. He talked about The Beaver, the Mel Gibson movie. That's coming out in May. And if you're curious, The Beaver, what are you thinking that movie's about? It's about a husband who adopts a hand puppet that's a beaver. And that's the only way that he communicates. Who directed this movie? Jodie Foster. And as Stephen was saying, Jodie Foster is the one person in Hollywood that keeps standing by him and saying that they're friends and some of the stuff is exaggerated and he's a great guy and all that other sort of stuff. You can always reach us on the show by going to americatonight.net. Facebook that way, Twitter that way. We have a blog every single day about all the water cooler buzz and what you missed and all that stuff. Plus, you can shoot me an email through the website, too, at americatonight.net.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at cha-chingwisdom.com. That's C-H-A-C-H-I-N-G-Wisdom.com. Cha-chingwisdom.com.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $220. And the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com. Today.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
What races are viewed in almost 150 countries with a loyal fan base? That's next with me, the Sports Princess, on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Toll House Refrigerated Cookie Dough. Who would you bake some love for? Find fun and easy baking ideas at tollhouse.com. Kids love doing arts and crafts projects, especially when you join in. Try channeling all that artistic energy into the kitchen and bake up some creative treats together. Think of your art supplies as the frosting, sprinkles, and decorating gels, and use cookies or cupcakes as your canvas. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
The National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, or NASCAR, officially started back in 1948. William France gets the credit for pulling in the drivers and scribbling some stops across the country on a cocktail napkin, along with a point system to track the drivers and ultimately crown a points winner at the end of the season. As you can imagine, there were a lot of different types of speedsters back then. There were three divisions that they set up, modified, roadster, and strictly stock. Today, the Sprint Cup Series features 36 races over 10 months, with the most prestigious event held in the beginning of the season, the Daytona 500. At the International Speedway, they pull in 168,000 fans, hoping to get a glimpse of drivers like Jimmy Johnson. He's the winner of the last five Sprint Cup Series, and he won the 500 in 2006. To NASCAR fans, gentlemen, start your engines. Our words to live for as another race has just begun. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts.
That's why he goes there for is to unlock the door.
So are you ready for a big coal auction? That tops odds and ends here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Check this out. Actually, I would love to go and see this. It's about time. Of all the energy sources that we talk about, and because there's so much discussion, if we wind back the clock to the oil spill of last year in the Gulf and the discussions over the dependence on oil, then what happens in the Middle East and what we're seeing with the rock and roll prices for a barrel of crude on the New York Mercantile Exchange and how everything's exploding as far as gas prices. Jack from Down Under chatted us up here on America Tonight and happened to mention there's discussions in Australia about $9 a gallon. Wow! $9 a gallon. Imagine, folks, all of you listening in Florida and Illinois and Connecticut, wherever you hail from, imagine if you have an SUV. You got to fill that sucker up. And I know we can all say, well, you shouldn't have an SUV, but you have a gaggle of kids or you need it for your business or you just want to drive an SUV. You want your one creature comfort. You would pay for that. If we paid $9 in this country in the USA, people would go crazy. People are going crazy over 4+. That's the water cooler buzz. Guarantee you can talk to any stranger about, except for kids who aren't driving, about, then they'd scream stranger danger anyway. But you could talk to anybody in an elevator, wherever, about the price of gas, and you'll get a response. If it were $9, oh, people would be rioting. Are you kidding? 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue would be swarmed with people carrying signs. Get your hands off our gas prices. Ooh. Anyway, because of that, lots of discussions as to other alternatives and splitting things up. Coal, described as evil by so many. Oh, coal and what it does to the air and pollution. And it's awful and blah, blah, blah. And you have to do it right and all that other sort of stuff. And then there's this gem of energy that's sitting in Wyoming, untapped. We have talked about it again and again and again. Finally, it's going to get tapped. Yeah, because it has to. It's sitting there, ready to be mined. So it'll be expanded coal mining, the business, in Wyoming, the public lands, in the next couple of months. The government is opening it up, so to speak. That's what I'm talking about, these auctions. Check it out. This is what happens. There's more land available for lease by these mining companies who are desperate to get their hands on it. Coal is something that we need to produce. It's part of our energy portfolio. It's the only time you'll ever, ever hear me agree with a guy I think that deserves a pink slip still, the Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, who held a big news conference on Tuesday to say that we need coal. It's going to help Wyoming's economy. We need it as part of our energy source here in the United States. The leases are going to bring in probably between $13.4 billion and maybe up to $21 billion because they'll have bids and royalties and all that other stuff. And so, of course, the government wants the money. To the federal government and to the state of Wyoming, they'll get it. Wyoming, it's not like the NFL. They'll just split this. Wyoming gets 48% of the money. The rest goes to the federal government. And trust me, they're anxious to do this. There are four tracts of land that we're talking about. It's in the northeast part of Wyoming's Powder River Basin. And the amount, it could be more, it could be less, but just hang with me. The estimated amount is about 758 million tons of coal. Wyoming is the number one coal producer from public lands. So our domestic energy supply, what they actually supply from that state, is more than 400 million tons of the stuff. If you think about it, and I'm getting much better at math, it means that it provides about 40% or so of the coal used by power plants across the nation. It's electricity, right? Electricity, people. So I think this is a good thing. Of course, the people in Wyoming like it. The Wyoming governor, Matt Mead, likes the move. coal is a big deal in Wyoming. It's jobs. That's jobs that they need. It comes at a good time for them. And with all the uncertainty and the chaos in the Middle East and in North Africa, by the way, what happened at Fukushima, the nuclear power plant in Japan, and the safety of nuclear power being questioned all over the place, of course, now it's time to tap into those lands, baby. We're ready. We're ready to do it. And it's not to say that nuclear energy is completely off the map, because it's not. In fact, the Interior Secretary, of course, since he's having a press conference, because he's not an easy guy to get a hold of, I think he dashes away from reporters when he can, because he doesn't want to answer the tough questions. So on the nuke issue, though, he was bombarded with those questions. He's saying that safety precautions have to be looked at in light of all those problems in Japan, but the administration, he's staying the course, is going to continue to push for an expansion of nuclear power in the U.S., and that's a good thing. It's a good thing that there is no back down here. Of course, it's about safety, of course. With all the red tape, are you kidding? With all the red tape and all the hands that are out, do you think that it was just going to be a layup to build the 20-plus nuclear power plants that have permits, and actually more than that, if we went further down the line to the next 14, 15 years? And let's wrap this up where we started. Libya, Libya, Libya. What is the end game? Oh, I'm so tired of asking that question, but I have to ask it. The president is saying now that hopefully this U.S.-led military mission, along with our friends, the Brits and the French, will spark political change and maybe the ouster of Muammar Gaddafi. But what's interesting is they are so stepping around that question, saying the military plays are not to get Gaddafi, but then in the same breath saying we want the ouster of Gaddafi. So how is that? Of course, that's what they're... And then who comes in? We keep saying the same thing. Who comes in next? In Tunisia, in Egypt, and now in Libya, if Gaddafi's gone. But I'm still going to say that this guy is not, he's not just picking up stakes and walking out, especially with frozen assets. He's staying. I mean, we have a stalemate is what we have in Libya, but we are bleeding money on this one. So make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, you, my friends, are paying for this, because this is money, this is taxpayer money that is going out to supply the missiles, Tomahawk missiles, and everything else that is being used to be thrown against the Libyans. Anything the U.S. kicks in, it is our money. How much money is too much money when we can't even balance our budget and we are bleeding? We do not have the cash for this.